Blessed be the name of the Lord, Jesus. Yes, no other name by which you can be saved. Yes. What, you run into it? You run into it, an old sinner, and you come out washed white as snow. Bless the name of Jesus. Well, it's still October. The weather is what it is, but we still had a good gathering last evening. Those that came, I think they enjoyed themselves. We enjoyed ourselves, got a little bit tired. We figure it took a rough count, around 72 people. I don't know how many of them are children, but I'm going to take at least 20-some of them were children. And I'm going to tell you, if I could get 72, 73 people here on Sunday morning, 20-some of them be children, that'd be pretty nice, wouldn't it? So we'll take that. And those that participated and helped, I do want to thank. Pete brought out his salamander. I can just imagine him and his grandchildren. You probably had them all out on that all the time, didn't you? I know my grandchild liked me. He brought that out for the kids to enjoy rides, and we had the hay rides and all the things that go along with it. So we appreciate everybody was a part of that, even though the weather didn't particularly hurt. It gave way to us. The Lord gave us some time there after the quick rain or the sprinkles, and we enjoyed ourselves greatly. We do know that if you're a part of the sisters, where you like to enjoy the fellowship. I don't like calling it secret sisters so much, but the fellowship of sisters or secret sisters is what it's called, where they enjoy one another throughout the year. They recognize one another's special holidays and special days, anniversaries, birthdays, and that sort of thing. And they do it in secret so that they don't know who's doing this for them and giving this little encouragement throughout the year. And then at the end of the year, they have a party where they meet their secret sister, who it was throughout the year, encouraging them. So they seem to enjoy that. And so if you'd like to be a part of that, they're signing up again. Put your sheet in the basket out there so that they can get you a secret sister partner. And you can be a part of that and enjoy that activity at the women. And it's an all-year activity. You sign up for the year. So enjoy that. We seem to have a lot of things going on in this church. My goodness, for a church, you know, a little church, about every other week we're having some kind of a get-together to eat. And that's okay with me. You know, if you look at this, you know, this month there's been quite a few gatherings. Some of them have included food. But anyway, if this week there'll be nothing this week. I'm just going to have to go home. What I said all that for was to remind you folks that come next Saturday, November the 4th, I think it was, there'll be a bowling party. So another activity to get time to get together, enjoy one another. Sign up for that, would you please? So they know how many to get. If you want to be a part of the bowling party, sign up for that and get your name on the list so you can enjoy that. And if you don't particularly think you're going to bowl, but you might want to go to the luncheon, you're welcome to do that too. You go. It was kind of fun. I just watched them bowl last time, and that was a lot of fun. I can tell you what, I wouldn't do much better, but it was a good time, and it was a good activity to be a part of. So come out and be a part of our activities. Tell your friends part of our activities. You know, tell them that we have so many things that we do, and just have them come out, and then come out on Sunday morning and enjoy worshiping the Lord with us, so that we all you know, try to help one another make it through this place called this world, and we do that by leaning on one another, leaning on Jesus, and leaning on one another for that help to get through to the other side. Which, by the way, you know that we did have the funeral, Ray Weissong, here this week. And right after that, it took Ray Pruitt, no, Larry Pruitt, thank you. Larry Pruitt he was scheduled to go, but could go to the hospital, and he had to have his foot cut on again. And so pray for Larry. He's quite nervous about these things. He's got one foot that's already been cut pretty much, and the second one that they're starting to work on now, and it's due to sugar and things. But help him. He's kind of nervous about this. So keep him in your prayer. Keep him and his wife Fran in your prayer as they go through this time together. So, all right. I thank you all for being here. God bless you.
Your turn. Yeah. That's good. Thanks.
Good morning. Well, we had a great winter clothing drive. I think this was a collection. Am I not on?
You're on.
Okay, keep talking. We collected 12 bags that we sent to Help House, and they really appreciated them. And I want to thank all of you for your generosity. It was really, really a great show of love towards them. And then we have the shoebox collection coming up, so I thought I'd give you show and tell. The main thing I wanted to say today, there are a couple of things, but the main thing was if you decide to pack a shoebox, if you would discard all the paperwork that comes along in the packaging, that would be great. Usually you all do, and I appreciate that. The reason for that is they don't have trash pickup, usually, wherever it's going. So that means that it would get discarded on the ground or wherever. So they ask that we get rid of all the cardboard and paper and that sort of thing that the items are wrapped in. Like this baby doll was in a huge box. So we just take her out of there and then stick her in here, and then it allows you to put more things in the shoebox too. So there's information out at the desk telling you what they won't accept, which is only a few things, and the things that they will accept. However, if you don't want to shop or if you can't shop for any reason, if you give me or Donna money, we will do the shopping for you. And we don't mind. We know how to get in quick to the dollar stores and get out quick and get the kind of things that are needed too. So please feel free to do that if you want to. And the ending date is November 12th, so we need to have everything here. We usually ask a couple of days right around that time so that we can, once we get them, we pack up, make sure that everything is kind of even inside as far as that goes, as much as we can. And then the shipping fee is $10 per box. And if you can give any of that money, that would be helpful as well. So I want to again ask you to continue praying for our missionaries around the world. They need our prayers now more than ever. And voting is coming up, and I'd ask if you to remember to vote for life. And if you have questions about any of those bills that are hard to understand, I'm sure there's somebody here who could help us with that. So thanks.
That was a good turn. Great. Hey, let's stand this morning, shall we, and sing praises.
Let's just praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts toward heaven. Praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts toward heaven and praise the Lord.
Amen. Let's read together, shall we? But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
He hath come into his house and gathered.
Number. Yeah. I don't know that. I know the a little bit of that song. I don't know. Should be CD number 3. Did I put the wrong one in? It's my fault, I know. I have no fault insurance. I buy it and I pay for it by the month.
Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. For he is good, he is above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise.
With a mighty hand and outstretched arm,
his love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. Forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us. Forever and ever. Forever. from the rising to the setting sun. His love endures forever, and by the grace of God we will carry on. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. Forever God is faithful, forever God is strong, forever God is with us, forever and ever. Forever God is faithful, forever God is strong, forever God is with us, forever and ever, forever. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. Sing praise. Sing praise. Sing praise. Sing praise. Wherever you are faithful, forever you are strong, forever you are with us, forever and ever. Forever you are faithful, forever you are strong, forever you are with us, forever and ever. Forever.
That's a big word, isn't it? Forever. All of eternity.
There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still, in all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Soon he's coming back, he welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown. I shall reign with him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. To prepare us a dwelling place there, in the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore, on the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore. We shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious songs of the blessed, and our spirit shall sorrow no more, not a sigh for the blessing of rest. We shall meet on that beautiful shore, in the sweet by and by. We shall meet
on that beautiful shore. Father, we shall see you face to face someday. We praise you for that. We praise you for your word, and I praise you for what you're going to do today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Well, good morning, everyone. Thanks for the past appreciation cards and gifts and for the cards from my mom. She passed peacefully, so when you know they're a Christian, it makes a lot of difference, doesn't it? She didn't want to suffer, and she didn't suffer. She just kind of breathed. We had a little funny thing happen a couple times. We were there. I was there Saturday and talked to her, and you know, they give her all the medication and things like that. So she was trying to, they had her arm wrapped up with this gauze so she wouldn't take her IVs out. She kept picking at it, and I kept saying, Mom, stop, stop. So then when I turned around, she went, my sister's like, when you turned your back, she gave you the claw. So I don't know what that meant, but that was something. So yeah, we had some funny times. So it was good, and I know where she is. So a lot of things happening in the world, aren't there? The world we live in. We're talking about heaven today. So I'll try to cover as much as I can in this amount of time, but I'm not going to cover it all. So if I skip something, then you look it up and just see what I missed, if I missed anything, because there's a lot to cover about heaven, what it's going to be like, you know, where it is, what's going to happen to the earth, and what's going to happen to us, and all those kinds of things. So, anybody have anything that you'd like to share this morning? Popcorn testimonies, remember? Short testimonies, not, you know, five-minute speech. Oh, you're all scared again. Oh, we got a couple there. Oh, we got four. Geez, I'll start from the front and go to the back. How about that?
I've mentioned before about a former student who's also the son of a very good friend of mine named Andrew and his family. That's, I know some of you have been praying. Please keep it up. It's not my story to tell, but they're making progress, but they still need help. And if you'd like to do some thank you prayers, we're always asking God for something. My cousin that a lot of you have met, she comes to all our special events and musics and stuff. Her son went through a rough job situation, but he starts a new one tomorrow. So thank you prayers are good to ask for, too.
I just want to thank the Lord today that I've been able to share 46 of my wonderful years with this man right here.
I'm just thankful today because I did get a job at Circle K, and I am really liking it. I like my manager, and it's a blessing from God for that. Thank you.
Pete and I have a wonderful praise. We talked to our younger daughter the other night on the phone, and she said we had a great revival at our church all week, so it was just a wonderful week. And then she put our grandson, Andrew, on the phone. She says, tell Grandma and Grandpa your great news. And he said, I've accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. That was wonderful. He was 9 years old.
Good. That's good.
I just wanted to tell everybody, after weeks of being sick in our family and passing everything around, we're all finally better and able to come back. So we're just really excited to be here. So thank you for all the prayers for our healing.
Glad you're here. We're glad you're here. I went past you. I'm going this way.
I would just like a thank you prayer. I have my husband here with me today, and it's a blessing. My whole family is here today, so thank you, Lord.
Anyone else?
I would like to ask for prayer for my niece's husband. He's having a heart catheterization on Wednesday, and his heart, he's only 48, and his heart is down to 20%. So we're really concerned about that, having that catheterization. So if you'd pray for him, I appreciate it. His name is Joel Call.
I remember Leslie, she's recovering from her brain surgery, so she's in Grant in room 320 ICU, so let me know if you're going to go. We don't want to overwhelm her with visitors, but she does want visitors. She said the other day, she's kind of, her son's here, but that's one person, so if we can kind of go in shifts or whatever. If anybody's going today, let me know. I'm planning on going tomorrow, so and Larry Pruitt, I think, is in Grant as well, so you might be able to get. Where is he? Dublin Methodist. Okay, so he's in Dublin Methodist, but she's in Grant. So If you go there, make sure you get the right garage. Helen and I went there a day, and we looked at this place, said garage, so we started going down this thing. And then it said employees only, so we had to back up out of this thing and then go to another garage. I think it was a blue garage we found. Yeah, Grant is very confusing, but it's worth the trip when you get there. Anyone else? Okay, let's pray this morning. Father, thanks for bringing us here this morning. Thanks for allowing us to be in your presence, to be in your house, to be here as a group of believers, like-minded, that believe in accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior, knowing that you're the way, the truth, and life. We know you're the healer. You're the great physician. We pray for Larry and Leslie specifically this morning. You'd be with them and help them, Lord, with recovery and the surgeries that they've had, and for Donna, and I think of Lois and Fran, and the other ones, Lord, that we have out there, and ones here in our congregation that are dealing with different issues that we know about that they're having. Pray for healing for them as well, and for the spiritual issues that people are having, Lord, where the enemy tries to attack and make us believe that what the Bible says is not true and what he says is true, and follow the ways of the world and not follow you. Thank you for the kids getting well from their sickness they had, and for the college students being home. And we just pray you be with our families, Lord, protect them, help them to worship and follow you, and those who don't know you yet, that you'll keep working on them, that they may see that you're the one that they need and not other things out there. So be with our world and our community. Lord, help us to be witnesses for you and Israel in these days, and those who are innocent, the Palestinians who are not causing trouble, that are being victimized as well, and the Ukrainians and the Russians and all these things that are happening, Lord. And we know there's going to be wars and rumors of wars, but we know that's not going to be the end. There's more to come, and until every person on this earth hears about you, you're going to tarry. So we just pray for people to share their faith to others. Give us strength and boldness. Just keep us in your hand as we walk this life. In your name, amen.
Everything new, Jesus. One day you will bind every wound. The former things shall all pass away, no more tears. One day you'll make sense of it all, Jesus. One day every question resolved. Every anxious thought left behind, no more fear. And when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. One day we will see face to face Jesus. Is there a greater vision of grace? And in a moment we shall be changed on that day. And one day we'll be free, free indeed. One day all this struggle will cease. We shall see your glory revealed on that day. And when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. And when we all get to heaven,
What a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory. Yes, one day we will see face to face Jesus. Is there a greater vision of grace? And in a moment we shall be changed. Yes, in a moment we shall be changed. In a moment we shall be changed. Oh. And when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory. We'll sing and shout the victory.
Well, I found a little joke this morning that I wanted to share. I think you'll enjoy it. A sweet little boy surprised his grandmother one morning and brought her a cup of coffee. He made it himself, and he was so proud. He anxiously waited to hear the verdict on the quality of the coffee, and the grandmother had never in her life had such a bad cup of coffee. As she forced on the last sip, she noticed three of those little green army men in the bottom of her cup. She said, "Honey, why are there three little army guys in the bottom of my cup?" I said, "Grandma, you should know, it's not like TV. The best part of waking up is soldiers in your cup." That was cracking me up. I'm like, I need to remember that one. Well, we're talking about heaven, and when I talk about some subject, I like to see kids' insights into what they say and what they think. A lot of times they're honest. And so one girl said, "It's where girls get turned into angels. And then God tries to do the best he can with the boys." Another kid said, "There's no doctors or lawyers in heaven. They don't need them because God does all the healing and because all the arguments are against the law." Well, I would never thought of that as a kid. You know, I was thinking about bugs and stuff. 6-year-old Kara said, "God is sitting in heaven, but he isn't on a throne or anything. No, sir. He's sitting in a garden playing with the children and the animals and letting them climb on his lap." And then Marie 6 said that one of the passing thoughts of God is, "I wish I had a bigger refrigerator, then I could put all the drawings from all my children in the world on it." How did heaven begin? 7-year-old Robin said, "A lot of people in the ancient years were crying because their grandmas passed away and were dying. So God said, all right, you win. So he made heaven a beautiful place, and he let the grandparents stay there forever." Just a couple more. 10-year-old Michael said, most of the people I know believe in heaven. You might say they were just kids, but then maybe God just talks to us more often. When I think of heaven, I think of a fabulous place. You know, peace, joy, love, no sorrow, no arguments, no war, no pain of any kind. I think of what Jesus said to the thief on the cross, "Today you're going to be with me in paradise." So when we look at heaven in the Bible, we'll see some of the things that it says, and we could trust God's word that it's true because none of us have been there. We don't know what it's like, but we can imagine. That's why we have imaginations. You live in a world with all kinds of troubles, and even Jesus said we'd have troubles, but he didn't leave it there, did he? There's hope in him. So he gave us the Holy Spirit to help us and guide us and help us to pray and know what to pray and pray for us when we didn't know how to pray. But John 14, verse 1 says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms, and if it were not so, I would have told you. And I'm going there to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place I'm going." So the first thing it says is, don't be worried or afraid with what comes after this life. When you see people that know the Lord, it's a different kind of experience when they pass away because they know where they're going. I want to go home. A lot of times they'll say, I want to go home. I'm just ready. And those who don't know the Lord are scared, terrified. I don't know what it's going to be. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know where I'm going. And then it talks about heaven or the end of our lives. First uses the term Moni, which is literally means dwelling places. The translations like the King James renders it as mansions. And many believe it's a physical place, imagining that Jesus is promising palaces for all Christians in heaven. And that could be the case, right? We don't know. We don't know if we're going to be in a palace or anything. And then he says also that it's his Father's house, using the word T oikia. Not college people, you can correct me if I pronounce that incorrectly. I know you know Greek and everything, so you'll probably let me know. But it can mean a physical house or it can mean a family. So it could be talking about you're going home to your mansion or you're going home to a family. And I'm not sure which one it is because I'm not a Greek scholar, but both are very important, I think, to me, whether it's a mansion or a family. Christ's meaning could point to the assurance that there's room for everybody. It's so big, there's room for everybody to come in. He could be talking about that. So there's a place for each of us in heaven. And translators have rendered the phrase place, meaning the same as Christians, is that we're going to be restored at the end of our life. That there's a journey, we have a destiny, and Christ is going to help us to get where we're supposed to be, where we're going to go. Whether it's a mansion or a cabin, it doesn't matter, does it? As long as you're with him, it doesn't matter where you are, if there's even a place. Well, my mom passed away a week ago, well, today at 6:10 p.m. actually. And one of the things she said, I want to go to heaven. I want to be with my mother. So she had a hope, didn't she, of where she wanted to be and who she wanted to see. And to me, it was sad from the human side, but it was comforting from the spiritual side, knowing my mom wouldn't be suffering anymore. No COPD, no brittle bones, no broken hip, no struggle to breathe. But she was home in paradise. Whether it's a literal mansion or whether it's family, I think maybe it's both. Then I was asking the questions, do we even need a house in heaven? Will we need a house? Will we need to sleep? I don't know those questions. Those things we only like imagine. I don't know what it's going to be like. I haven't ever been there. We're not sure, but we know one thing, we'll be free, won't we? Free from everything that we worry about and struggle on this earth, that we get up saying, oh, I don't want to do this today, right? You'd be like, let's go. I don't even know if we sleep. I mean, you could be like Pam, 24 hours a day. If you don't know what I'm talking about, just go by her a little while and you'll find out. They may play board games there, Pam, but I don't know if maybe everybody wins. I don't know, so. But someday we'll have a reunion, glorious reunion with those who have gone on before. That's what you look forward to. Every time I do a funeral for a Christian, it's not ever a goodbye. It's always a see you later. Because they're just going ahead of us. They're just getting there before we get there. It's like when you go on a trip, you know, people go in different times. And maybe you go or your kids go ahead and you say, yeah, we'll see you there because I'm just going to go ahead and get things ready. So they're there getting things ready for us, waiting for us. And when you walk in, you know, the banners, welcome home, that kind of a thing. I don't know the timing of all the things in heaven. I don't know necessarily a certain order when it's going to happen. But if you look in Revelation 21, John says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw a holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people. He will dwell with them, they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. So if you never thought about it, this talks about a new heaven and a new earth. We're not living on this ball that we're on right now. It's going to be changed. It's going to be different. It's going to be a new one. He's going to recreate it because this heaven and earth is going to pass away. But the place that he's creating will be perfect like it was supposed to be in the beginning, the new heaven and new earth. And it talks about a holy city coming down to the new earth like a bride at a wedding. And God's dwelling place will come down. And we'll dwell there, and he'll dwell with us. So can you imagine God, you know, walking around with us? Hey, God, what's up? How's it going today? Or whatever you're going to say. I don't know what we're going to say. But I can just imagine that'll be amazing, won't it? You don't have to wonder anymore. What's it going to be like? What does he look like? What's his voice sound like? Kenny Rogers kind of voice or, you know, whatever. Who knows what he's going to sound like? But we'll be able to hear him. Do we even have to talk, or can we just read each other's thoughts? You know, I don't know, but it's things to think about. When you think about heaven, what's going to be like? It's going to be amazing, wonderful, miraculous, incredible. We can't even imagine how good it's going to be. You know, when you go to, like, York Steakhouse after church, sometimes you're like, oh, that steak's going to be so great. Then you get there, and it's better than what you thought. It's going to be even better than that, isn't it? Even better than what you could think or imagine. Then it says, they'll wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will no longer be death or mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. What's the world like with no death, mourning, crying, or pain? Everything we see on TV now pretty much or news is always somebody crying or getting hurt or pain or whatever it's going to be. Somebody shot somebody or somebody stole something or, you know, they bombed this place and killed these people and everything else. What's it going to be like when none of that's happening? You don't have to be stressed out or worried or what's going to happen next, you know? Just going to be you get up like, oh, this is great. I don't have any pressure, no pain, no worries, no struggles. All those things are going to pass away. That should be exciting to us to leave these things behind. The memories you have, the hurts you have that haunt you. Why did that person say that to me? Why did they do that? Why did this have to happen? You won't have those anymore. They'll be gone. You'll live in a perfect place, in a perfect state of being. Can you imagine that? Waking up and there's no stress. There's no worries. There's no electric bill, no gas bill, no tax, no cars with flat tires, nothing breaking down, no limps when you're walking around, none of that stuff. Won't have any of that. It says, he who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it's done. I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. Jesus is making everything new, and he says, write it down. Why do we write things down? Usually because they're important, right? Because you want to remember them, right, Matthew? You want other people to know. So you write it down because it's something important. If it's not important, you don't write it down. When you're taking classes at college, half the time, I don't write anything, half the stuff down because it didn't matter. Because whatever the professor tested you on was in the book anyway, and he's take all these notes. In one of my classes I had in there, I may have told you this before, but, you know, when you get older, you start forgetting what you said, so... I was in this class, and the professor I had was an English class. Wanted us to read these books that had all this stuff in there that I didn't like. And he was actually a Lutheran minister's son. And I said to him, I said, well, you know, I have an issue with this. Can you give me an alternate book to read? He's like, no, you Christians need to take your blinders off and be exposed to this stuff. And I said, okay, sir, thank you. And I threw the book in the garbage when I left. I didn't read one page of that book. All I did was take notes in the class, and I still, I think, got a B in the class and never read a thing that he did. You know, so I said, God, I need help in this. I'm not gonna read this garbage. But we write things down a lot of times to remember or to pass on to others. So when he says, write this down, this is for us. Write this stuff down. I want people to know what I said. A lot of times you try to quote somebody else. If you don't write it down, you don't always get it right, do you? Well, remember what he said, then you start thinking about, well, did he really say that or did he say this? So when you have it written down, you have everything you need. We want people to know what he said and remember it. He said, I'm the beginning and the end. Then he said, to the thirsty I'll give water without cost from the spring of water of life. And those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I'll be their God and they'll be my children. So he says, listen to this. To the thirsty I'll give water without cost. Right? Not just water, though, but living water. His word, his spirit is going to give to us without cost because Jesus already paid that price. He already paid the price for our salvation. So the question is, are we thirsting for God? Do we want to know more about him? Do we want to be saved? Do we want that kind of a relationship? Then he says, those who are victorious, who fought the good fight, who've kept their faith in Jesus, will be his children. You can't just fight one battle and say, I surrender, I'm done. Because life is a battle every single day, isn't it? We all have different battles we fight. We're all heading for the same direction, though. Right? We're all heading for the victory. We're all heading for the end of the line. We all want to get there. We may not get there the same way. Some are going to be limping and struggling, and some are going to be crawling along, and some are going to be running, but we're all going for the same place, right? We can be the ones who see those struggling, grab their arm, and pull them along with us and say, let's go, you can do this. Be encouraging to them. It may be tough now, but it's going to be okay because we know what the end is. Then he says this, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, they'll be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. So he says, those who reject Christ, who don't believe, who are vile, sexually immoral, murderers, practice witchcraft, tarot cards, fortune-telling, liars, and the like will spend eternity in hell. Why do we know that? Because they're going to reject Christ. They're picking this life when they should be picking this life, because they think they're missing something if they don't pick this other life. When really a lot of the people that pick that life are empty. It's never satisfying. They're never happy. There's always something else they want. So heaven's a wonderful place. Why wouldn't you want to go there? That's the question. Well, I'm going to read some verses in Revelation, and I'm not going to explain all of it. You can just take it for what it says, but I got quite a bit to read. Revelation 21, starting in verse 9. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of seven last plagues came to me and said, come, and I'll show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in spirit to a great mountain, great and high, and showed me the holy city of Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and with 12 angels at the gates. And on the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. And there were three gates on the east and three on the north, three on the south and three on the west. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of 12 apostles of the Lamb. Do we know if this is literal? We're not sure. But if it is, it's pretty awesome. If it's a literal thing we're going to see, it's an awesome thing to see. Then you skip to verse 18. The wall was made of jasper. The city of pure gold as pure as glass. The foundations of the city were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, and then sapphire, and agate, and emerald, and onyx, and ruby, and chrysolite, and beryl, and the ninth topaz, the tenth turquoise, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl, and the great street of the city was gold as pure as transparent glass. Can you imagine that? What this is created out of, what he's creating here, when he talks about the gate of a city. I don't imagine a little dinky pearl, you know, if it's a gate. If it's a gate, it's got to be big, right? Humongous pearl. That said, I did not see a temple in the city because the Lord Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. There's not going to be a big temple there because God and Jesus are the temple. That's who we're worshiping. The city doesn't need the sun or the moon to shine on it. The glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings on the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, and there will be no night there. So can you imagine that? No night? The gates are always open. We used to leave the doors of the church open, didn't we? Anybody can come in they wanted to. And what has our society changed into? They're going to come and steal everything we have inside because there's no respect for the Lord's house anymore. But these gates are always open for anybody that needs to come or wants to come in. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Sounds pretty awesome, doesn't it? If you can imagine what that's going to be like. Beautiful, glorious, magnificent, where we're going to live forever. No house payment, no taxes, no lawn mowing. Unless you like mowing, maybe you'll be able to mow if you want to. I don't know. But there's a condition. Your name needs to be in the Lamb's Book of Life. And how do you get your name in the Book of Life? You accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Right? Jesus, come into my life, make me the person you want me to be. I was talking to my sister this week about that. She said, I believe in God and I pray to him. I said, but have you asked him to come in and be your Savior? So I don't know. We're still working on that. We'll see. I don't know. That's between her and God. so much we can talk about this morning. We don't have time to cover it all. Unless you want to be here till 1 o'clock, then I can continue. But I did find a story about a guy who was a pastor that had a death experience, and he talks about what he saw as heaven. And you talk to people that say they have been to heaven. Is it heaven? I'm not sure. But a lot of things he talks about makes me hopeful, makes me wonder, gives me an idea what it might be. So I'm just going to read his story. He said, I was on my way. His name is Don Piper. I was on my way from a convention heading to Alvin, Texas, where I served as a minister at South Park Baptist Church. I drove a moderate 50 miles an hour because the January day was chilly and rainy, and the narrow two-lane freeway had no shoulders. About 11:45 a.m., an 18-wheeler coming from the other direction weaved across the center line, hit my car head-on. The truck rolled on top of my car, slamming into the side railing. The accident report states that the impact was about 110 miles an hour. When the first responders came to the scene and examined me, they found no pulse and declared I'd been killed instantly. I have no recollection of the impact. In my next moments of awareness, I was standing in heaven, and joy pulsed through me as I looked around, and at that moment, I became aware of a large crowd of people standing in front of an ornate gate. Every person was smiling and shouting and praising God as they surged towards me. First person I recognized was my grandfather. He looked exactly as I remembered him, with his shock white hair and what I called his big banana nose. He stopped in front of me. Donnie, his eyes lit up, and he held out his arms and embraced me. And once again, the robust, strong grandfather I had known as a child. Also in the crowd was Mike Wood, a childhood friend who was killed in a wreck at age 19. As he slipped his arms around my shoulder, I was amazed by the brightness of his smile. He seemed so alive. There were others, Barry Wilson, my classmate in high school, who had drowned in a lake. Two teachers who had nurtured me in my faith, relatives I'd last seen at family reunions, all looked exactly as I once knew them, although they were more radiant and joyful than they'd ever been on earth. Coming out from the gate only a short distance ahead was an even more luminous light than that which surrounded us. I could hardly grasp the dazzling colors. A holy awe came over me as I stepped forward toward the gate. I had no idea what lay ahead, but I sensed with each step, heaven would grow more wondrous. And then came the music. I can only describe it as a swoosh of wings, but I would have to magnify that 1,000s of times to explain the effect of the sound in heaven. Or the sounds, I should say. A myriad of sounds filled my heart and my mind. The most amazing one, however, was the angels' wings. I didn't see them, but they made a beautiful melody with a cadence that seemed to never stop, and the swishing surrounded me as if it was a form of unending praise. Second sound remains even today, the single vivid memory I have of my entire heavenly experience. Hundreds of songs were being sung at the same time. As I approached the magnificent gate, I heard singing from every direction and realized that each voice praised God. I write voice, but seemed to be instrumental, but some seemed to be instrumental. Praise was everywhere, and all of it was musical, yet comprised of melodies and tones I'd never experienced before. Every sound blended and each enhanced all the others. I didn't see God, although I knew that he was there. I only saw a shining iridescence as I peered through the gate. The only way I've made sense of that part of the experience is to think that if I'd seen God, I would never have wanted to return. My feeling is that once we're in God's presence, we will never return to earth again, because it'll be empty and meaningless by comparison. For me, just to reach the gates was amazing, a foretaste of joy divine. Then just as suddenly as I had arrived at heaven's gates, I left. A fellow pastor, Dick Ornrecker, and his wife Anita were traveling home from the same conference when they came upon the crash scene. Dick got out of his car and walked toward a police officer. "I'm a minister," he said. "Is there anybody I can help or pray for?" The police officer shook his head. The people in the truck are shaken up, and they're fine, but the man in the car is deceased. Dick tells it this way: "God spoke to me and said, you need to pray for that man in the car." Dick, somebody I'd never met. But over the protesting of the EMTs, he walked to my car, crawled into the trunk, which was the only way he could reach me. He strained to reach over the back seat, put his hand on my shoulder, and prayed for me. And then he sang, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." And I began to sing with him. Dick scrambled out of the trunk of my smashed car and raced over to the nearest EMT, shouting, "He's come back to life." In the first moments of consciousness, I aware of two things. First, I heard my own voice. and then became aware of someone else singing. The second thing is I was aware that someone clutched my right hand. It was a strong, powerful touch for the first physical sensation I experienced with my return to Earth. I thought it was Dick, but Anita corrected me with one small detail. You said Dick held your right hand, but that was physically impossible. But I remember it so clearly, I said. You were slumped over on the seat toward the passenger side, and your right hand was on the floor of the car. From where Dick was, he could barely reach your shoulder. There's no way he could have reached your right hand. Well, someone was holding it, but it wasn't Dick. I'm convinced that an angel was gripping my hand, and God was sustaining me and letting me know that he would not let me go, no matter how hard things became. Gives you a little glimpse of what heaven's like, isn't it? We talk about angels being there, that God is with us, that he loves us, he cares for us. In a time of our need, he's there by us. Was that going to be what heaven's going to look like? I don't know. Did he just make it up? I don't know. Did he really see it? We don't know. But whatever it is amazing, isn't it, to think about what it could be like, what it might be like for us. You ever hear this song, Heaven is a Wonderful Place? Filled with glory and grace. I want to see my Savior's face. Heaven is a wonderful place. I want to go there. We used to sing that as youth all the time. Are you ready to go there? Do you want to go there? Is that a place that you want to be? Further along you get in your life, it's like, yeah, I just want to go. I just want to be there. Especially we would tell my mom, Mom, don't worry about my dad. He'll be okay. We'll take care of him. A lot of times the fears of those people are not for them to go. It's what they're leaving behind, that everything's going to be okay. Give them the assurance it's going to be okay. Right? We'll take care of them. God will take care of them. Well, let's pray. Father, we just thank you for a little glimpse of heaven. We don't know how accurate we are. We can read what you wrote about your description of the city and all kinds of things and how we'll be, and there's no pain or suffering or crying or tears or any of those things, and we look forward to that aspect. Lord, we enjoy our time here with our family and friends, but we look forward to a time when we're all going to be together someday in your house. So, Lord, if there's somebody who hasn't accepted you today, I pray that they'll ask you to come in and be their Lord and Savior because they want to spend eternity in heaven. Thank you, Lord, for those who have gone on. Be with us here who are still here, Lord, struggling through life, but we know with you we can do anything that you want us to do. Pray for your peace for those who need it today, strength, your direction, and your deliverance. Pray for those who are recuperating from operations, those who need your help in all kinds of ways. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let's stand, shall we? Jesus, my Lord, will love me forever. From him no power of evil can sever. He gave his life to ransom my soul. Now I belong to him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Joy floods my soul, for Jesus has saved me, freed me from sin that long had enslaved me. His precious blood he gave to redeem. Now I belong to him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity.
Thank you. Have a great week. Praise the Lord.